Thanks for having us here in the Kirkland City Hall for this debate between Northwest University and the Chinese National Debate Team. We're debating the topic of social networking. We want to reject social networking websites. It's a relevant topic that affects both nations. My name's Gary Gillespie. I'm the coach at Northwest. I've been there for 25 years. And debate goes all the way back to the first university when Aristotle and Plato had their students debate. And we found recently that across the globe, Confucius was having his disciples debating. So we're going to have some modern debate between these two, the Western culture and the Chinese culture tonight. In just a minute, I'm going to have the debaters introduce themselves, but I do want to introduce the coach of the Chinese National Debate Team, Yongger. She's going to just say a few words about debate.
This is such a nice conference room, very formal, looks so much like a United Nations conference room. But us debaters, relax, be casual, okay? You know, being casual is a good thing, but being loose is not a good thing. Okay, I'm so delighted to be here tonight with a delegation from our debate team from China, including two English debaters, Kay and Cindy, and a Mandarin debater, Tiger, who have been selected last year from the China Open National Debate Competition. So they have competed against 150 teams in that event. First, I'm very grateful for hospitality that Professor Gary Gillespie has hosted this debate tour. And second, I'm so honored, I feel so honored by the reception of the Kirkland City Hall. Thank you very much. This is actually my second tour to United States of America, since America is the most dynamic and powerful and potential country in the world, which has been demonstrated by the intelligence and knowledge of people right here in this room. And there are some misinformation between United States culture and American culture. Until recently, in China, some textbooks still talk of America as a country bullying the poor and repressing the weak, and which is so much not true. Actually, your nation is such a free nation which shines as a beacon of hope and opportunity. And also, our country has also received some misinformation and misconception, like China used to be described as a country economically backward, without much democracy and human rights, which is not true. So that's why I pretty much enjoy a topic which has been discussed very recently in the Pacific University. United States should exchange more debaters to enhance the relationship with China. That's why we are here today, and you should too. Thank you very much.
Let me ask our debaters to introduce themselves. Tell us your name, your hometown, your university, what you're studying, and let's go ahead and start with the Chinese.
Okay, hello everyone, my name is Kay. My Chinese name is Tang Xiaojiao. I'm from Shanghai, China, and I study economics at Fudan University, which is also located in Shanghai. Thank you, really nice to meet you here.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zhang Xinyi, you can call me Cindy, and I'm from Xi'an International Studies University, and I have been participating in debate for more than 2 years. I really love debate, and I love all the wonderful experience debate brings me. So I'm really excited to be here to meet all of you guys here, and thank you for having us here. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zeng Qingxi, and you can call me Tiger. I debate in Mandarin for 6 years, so I'm a graduate student, and my major is cultural study. And it's my honor to debate in English here, so thank you.
point this up here. My name is Max Mooney. I'm from Ellensburg, Washington. I'm a biblical literature student out at Northwest University. I've been debating for 2 years now. Well, this is, after I complete this year, this will be my second year. And I'm the debate team captain for Northwest.
Hello, it's nice to be here. I'm Kirsty Erie. I'm from Northwest University, and I am getting my pursuing my bachelor's in business management. And my hometown is not too far from here, Tacoma.
My name is Elizabeth Moberg. I'm a psychology student at Northwest University, and my hometown is Kennewick, Washington, and I'm enjoying my first year on debate this year. So.
Let me tell you a little bit about the rules of debate. Each student will speak for 7 minutes. After the first minute of the speech, you're going to hear a knock. That means that the other side can stand and ask questions. The person having the floor can take a question if they choose, or they can sit the person down. Usually they take a couple questions to show that they can think on their feet. So the topic that they've been given is reject social networking websites. They've been assigned this as an academic exercise, so they might say things they don't personally believe, but it's practice for the real debates when they graduate. And so let's go ahead and begin. The judging panel is going to be listening carefully to the speeches, and when the debate is over, they're going to go out and confer and vote as a group on who they think did the better job. The audience, you guys get to vote also by applause. And while the judges are conferring, we're going to have 1 minute floor speeches. So you can come up and talk one side or the other on what you think. So let's go ahead and begin the debate. I'll call this house to order, turn it over to the Speaker of the House, Morgan Chin.
We thank Kirkland City Hall for hosting this tournament. I'd like to recognize the Prime Minister to give a speech on the topic, Reject Social Networking Websites, with a speech not to exceed 7 minutes.
Truly is an honor to speak here today. Well, the internet is still a relatively new development in society. And when it's placed against other communications media, like books, for instance, the internet is still considered infantile. Because of the short time of development and the rapid growth of the internet, there have been many problems that have emerged recently that we have still yet to bring out into the light of discussion. And one of the main things that we've seen develop through the internet recently has been the development of social networks like Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. And unfortunately, there are a lot of, well, fortunately for a lot of people use these social networking sites. People from normal college-age students to 40-year-old men who live in their mommy's basement to the, even dogs now have Facebook websites or Facebook profiles. So we see that Facebook spans a lot of people and a lot of different groups of people. Unfortunately, kids are also using Facebook and MySpace and Twitter. And all the good things about social networking sites, like being the ability to post pictures, pictures, play games, and socialize in virtual reality, are also problems for children. And that's really where we think we need to bring this to debate today, that you as parents and viewers should be restricting and monitoring and maybe even stopping completely the use of your children's use on Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and other social networking sites. So today I'm going to talk to you about two things. Number one, the online disinhibition effect. Number two, the problem of cyberbullying and online predators. And my partner, Kirsty, today will talk to you about the susceptibility of children to addictions on Facebook and how much time these addictions take up, productive time which can be used to do a lot of other more productive things. So today, I'm going to talk to you about the online disinhibition effect first. So John Sulor has recently published research discussing a psychological phenomenon known as the online disinhibition effect that finds that as you continue to use the internet, this is a quote from John Sulor, people say and do things in cyberspace they would not ordinarily say or do in the face-to-face world. They loosen up, feel less restrained, and express themselves more openly. People feel less conscious online of expected social norms. They are able to open up because they cannot experience the facial expressions, the vocal inflection, and the body language that one would experience when speaking to someone face to face. So they don't experience any immediate reaction from a person. So they say things that they might not normally say. The online disinhibition effect manifests itself in two ways, which John Sulor describes as benign disinhibition, which is the way in which people may reveal personal information, secret emotions, fears, wishes, intimate details of one's life. And then the other way that it manifests itself is as what he describes as toxic inhibition, in which someone uses blatant rude words, malicious language, and hateful, critical, or even threatening rhetoric. And so these are the two main ways in which people oftentimes manifest this online disinhibition. Unfortunately, children are even more susceptible to this online disinhibition effect because of a couple of main reasons. Number one, they haven't fully realized normal social behavior in the first place, so they don't know what's acceptable and unacceptable to say to someone. They don't realize that the words and the things that they say actually do have an effect on people's lives. And number two, they have not fully developed their prefrontal cortex, which is the center for reason and analysis in life, and so they don't fully think through and rationally process the things that they say, and so they don't realize the effects that these can have on kids. So children often expose their deeper fears or secrets online. So usually these students or these children are those that fall into the benign disinhibition category. So they express these deep desires and these feelings and these emotions. And then oftentimes, on the other side, where you have bullying, they take the toxic disinhibition effect, where they say things that are malicious to these kids who express their feelings, and it leads into a serious bullying issue, which normally we see on playgrounds back in, like, the childhood area where people would push your kid down and then bring physical harm. But now we see in cyberbullying, kids can't actually run away from these problems. All of these things stay online in basically the cloud, which is the servers, all this information is basically stored online and could follow them all around. So this makes cyberbullying a unique situation. In this very situation in which this toxic, disinhibited children say things to those who bring out this benign disinhibition led to the tragedy of a girl named Megan Meyer. In September of 2006, 14-year-old Megan met a boy named Josh Evans on MySpace. Josh was supposedly a new person to the area who was homeschooled, and so he was basically trying to meet people via MySpace. And Josh and her developed a pretty deep relationship in which she shared her most intimate desires and feelings and emotions. And later she found out that Josh was not actually Josh, but it was another student who had actually Megan had spread gossip about. And her mother and that student posed and created a fake profile as Josh Evans, found these secrets out, and spread these rumors around campus at her school. They found Megan in the closet hanged when she came home after she found out about this. This is a serious issue. And before I move on, I'll go ahead and take your point.
Thank you. Can you clarify that you're going to reject the social network totally, or you're going just for the children? And if it's the latter, what is your policy? Thank you.
Yeah, we think that this is an issue that parents need to take more seriously. We think that it's parents themselves who need to reject the idea of social networks, or at least, at the very least, have their spend more time monitoring what their children do on these social networking sites. It's not a government policy enacted. It's more of a social policy in which you, as the viewers today, need to take action specifically to help prevent these situations from happening to your children. Like I was saying about Megan, that's not an isolated incident either. According to iSafe Foundation, over half of adolescents and teens have been bullied online. And a close to an equal number have engaged in the actual bullying. More than one-third of young people have been threatened with physical violence online, and over 25% have repeatedly been bullied over social networks. And the most shocking part, only 1% of those students have ever told their parents about this. So parents don't really know. That's what we're really trying to do here on Side Government today, is get this out into the open, help prevent these issues from happening to people any longer. And also, we see predators as a huge problem because, much like they did with Megan, you can actually predators are luring children out into serious harm and physically threatening them. Like the Winnipeg girl who was lured out of her home and then videotaped while she was being sexually assaulted. These are serious issues, and we on Side Government think that you as the parents need to know about these things, and you should take actions to prevent or monitor or restrict your children's use on social networking sites. For all of these reasons, we beg that you do that.
We thank the Prime Minister. We now recognize the Leader of Opposition to open opposition's case with a speech not to exceed 7 minutes.
First, I want to say thank you to Professor Gary Gillespie for hosting our tour here in Kirkland, and thank you all for coming here tonight. In the last speaker's speech, our government side told us a lot about the harm that social network bring about, such as the spreading of illegal information and the harm to children. But the truth is, this kind of problem has existed since the day Internet was born. And this kind of topic about reject or not issues has been discussed a lot. Why? That is because as every new tool is born, it always born with some kind of problem. So that should not be the reason for us to reject, or we would have a debate every time as we have something new. So then I will talk about what we believe in the opposition side. First, the social network meets some people's social needs for some people. Looking back to how the social network come into people's lives, we find social network is to cater to the people who are not used to or not good at traditional social way. They are introverted and not expensive in front of other people, so they can hardly find pleasure in the socials, like a fish out of water. You know, not everybody like what we are. We are debaters. We can talk. It cannot be denied the traditional social way has advantages and play an important role in people's lives. But we also cannot deny this group of people's social needs should be met and their rights should be respected. They find confidence and happiness in social network which cannot be achieved in a traditional social way.
Sure, we recognize that this helps people, certain people's social needs, but unfortunately we see that a lot of people's social needs are harming children and taking advantage of children specifically. Why shouldn't we reject this whenever it's bringing specific and serious harm to children?
First, we do care about our children. My partner will talk about this more. And second, would you please define definition of this word mailing? As I know, my classmates and me both all use the Chinese version Facebook, which we call it Renren, that means everybody. And I have 16 classmates, and I believe they are all good people. And for me, maybe I usually do some critical things on my friends' blog, so they call me Dr. Editor, and I may be some kind of bad guy, but you say 1 to 59 if you find the truth. So, second, social network promotes the emotional connection in the modern society. It is the fact the modern lifestyle has reduced people's emotional connects. Since they are more stressful, busier, and individualized, the emergence of social network offers opportunities to improve the situation. People exchange and communicate with each other with their real identity. Families and friends reunions as carrying out online regardless of geographical distance, especially in the holiday and especially you are away from your home, like what we have been in the state. And social network create a great economic opportunity for the internet. We all know the kind of internet bubble, and it burst sadly in the March 2000 years. So the internet has been looking for the new growth points, that is the social network. By the huge amount of user, social network can provide this kind of internet service, such as the pushing advertisement, the news service, and the information searching engines. And that could bring a great opportunity to our economies. Sorry, not next time. And I don't know what happened in the Americans' financial market, but in China, we have the top three financial companies that recommend the internet service company to their customer as the best value company. You should invest money into this. So we say we do have the social needs, and we do have the advantages in this kind of social network which can bring to us, and we do have some advantages in the economic growth. So I believe that's the reason why we should not reject social network. Thank you.
We thank the Leader of Opposition. We now recognize the Deputy Prime Minister to continue government's case with a speech not to exceed 7 minutes.
Thank you for this opportunity. Not all new advances in technology is a good thing. Some of us have seen iRobot, and the robots in that movie basically try to take over the world. Well, at least they try to take over Chicago. Anyway, today we are here to reject online social networks. I specifically want to talk to you about why these sites are addicting, especially to children, and why this addiction is harmful, and what else children could be doing with their time instead of the material that's on social networks that they're absorbing. So let me first get into some refutation. So what opposition comes up and says is that that social networks helps meet the social problems and helps people with their comfort and happiness, which they wouldn't normally be able to do in face-to-face communication as well. But we say it does have some advantages, but it has much more disadvantages and much more psychological and physical disadvantages that I'll be getting to in my positive matter. And they also say it creates an economic opportunity. If there's a huge amount of users, as well as advertisements and surveys, but we just see that those advertisements and surveys not are always a good thing, and they do target kids as well. So some of these economic advantages aren't always good specifically to online social networks. So let me get into my positive matter. Is Facebook addicting? Human psychologist Abraham Maslow believes we have three basic emotional needs: love, affection, and belongingness. Basically, we need a sense of self-worth. So sites like Facebook allow us to fill these needs through a computer screen, and we believe that these needs need to be filled through face-to-face interaction, as my partner was saying. So it allows us to fill these needs because it allows us to be self-centered and share as much as we want about ourselves, but it's not the information is not necessarily directed to one specific person, so it doesn't seem like we're being self-centered, although we are. Also, it allows us to be nosy in other people's lives, because on these sites, it doesn't show when you view somebody's profile or view their pictures, but because in real life, you wouldn't be able to be as nosy as you are online, but it gives us a self ourselves a sense of self-worth, because we are able to have all this knowledge, be all nosy, and make online social networks about ourselves. The second question I have that I'll answer for you today are kids more susceptible to addiction? And we believe they are. So kids are easily bored, and they thrive on instant gratification, which online social networks provide. This is true because, as Max was saying, their prefrontal cortex, or their logic center for reasoning, it doesn't fully develop until the early 20s. Now, this relates because it allows adults to realize that they don't always need instant gratification. They don't always need the next, you know, fix, and they have a better balance between gratification and their real lives. And we see that kids do not have this understanding. So
and as well in ADHD kids, they're even more susceptible to instant gratification and are easily bored. So this also furthers ADHD kids and their addiction to online social networks. So why is this addiction harmful? The reason that online social networks are addicting are the reason that they are harmful. Instead of getting attention and gratification from face-to-face interaction, as Max was pointing out, they get it from a computer screen. We believe that there's alternatives to this, that you should be going home and interacting with your family more. You should be interacting with your friends more face-to-face, and you should be able to have this interaction normally, like we've had before the internet was even made, or specifically these sites that facilitate this kind of relationship, even before those sites were made. So we believe that a lot of time spent on these network sites are a complete waste of time. So there are a lot of benefits of kids not sitting on Facebook all day, not soaking up this useless knowledge, and some of the benefits and things that they can do instead of being on these social networking sites is to spend time with their family. The reason children want instant gratification is because maybe they're not getting enough attention, or they want attention, or they obviously need to feel valued. Like Maslow's points condensed down into is basically they need a sense of self-worth. And so if they're spending more time with their family and with friends outside, they're getting a sense of self-worth, but with face-to-face interaction. And as well as some of the other things they can do, they can play outside like children in the past have done before they even had internet. They can experiment, they can have fun, and it can also promote physical exercise. Another thing they can do is brain-stimulating activities. We see that a lot of people and a lot of students don't like reading nowadays because they're not used to doing it. They're spending a lot of the time on social networks and on the computers in general. But reading is known to help improve analytical thinking, increase vocabulary, and improve writing skills. Facebook does not offer this kind of brain stimulation. This is why we're pushing for limited time on the computer, or at least regulating your kids' time on the computer on these online social networks, because it does not have a lot of good advantages. And so, because online social networks are addicting, do not provide valuable content, kids are missing out on other important activities, we see that spending a lot of time on online social networks is harmful. For these reasons, we believe kids should spend dramatically less time on online social networks, or better yet, just go home and delete your page.
We thank the Deputy Prime Minister. We now recognize the Deputy Leader of Opposition to extend on opposition's case with a speech not to exceed 7 minutes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for Kiriski's very wonderful speech. But I'm so sorry that today the proposition side here just exaggerate all the harms that may be brought by the social network, and they totally ignore the benefits and the benefits that social network can bring to us. Let's just have a review on what they have told us. First of all, my opponents talking a lot about advantage of face-to-face communication, but I see no conflict between face-to-face communication and the social network. It can happen at the same time. And on the other hand, it's not every children are staying with their parents. For example, when I was young and my grandparents, they live very far away from my home. So when I want to have communication with my grandparents, I need to use the social network. And that's why we need a social network here to help us to build up distant communication, which may not be possible for many parents to have face-to-face communication with their children. And so that's why we not only need face-to-face talk, but we also need social network to help us communicate with our family who is far away from us. And for the second part, he mentioned about the addicting things, that children may get addicted to the social network. But I would like to say that children may be addicted to many things, and some other things like computer games and also the internet are more addicted than social network. And I believe social network here is a thing that will bring more benefit to children than just addiction or harm, and I will explain later. And also they mentioned a lot of things about gratification, things that children cannot distinguish them with the reality. But I don't think we should blame it on the social network, because TV also give us pictures, and so children may not have the distinguishing sense between what is TV shows or what is real life. So are you going to reject TV too? So I don't think there's a problem. And this kind of problem is not caused by social network. So through their speech here today, we can see that first, they are blame the social network on the problems that do not caused by the social network. Not this time. And on the second place, their policy, their idea by rejecting the social network cannot solve the harm they bring at all. Because I cannot understand why just simply rejecting the social network can prevent our children from getting the harm from the internet. Or are you going to stop children from using the internet? Or are you just going to imposing their parents by having this kind of concept? So I really don't understand how your idea here rejecting social networking work can help you to solve the problems you just mentioned. Okay, I take points there.
Yes, Miss, we understand that the TV has a lot of bad things associated with it too, but children don't have the online disinhibition effect when they're watching TV, but they do say things that they shouldn't be saying in normal social interactions online. How do you deal with these issues and prevent kids from putting out sensitive information that could come back to hurt them and seriously hurt their reputation and their emotional well-being?
Those so-called toxic information or misinformation is not brought by the social network. It has been existed since the day the internet was born. So are you going to rejecting the whole internet or something? Or it's never going to work, because the toxic information is there and will be there whether you're rejecting the social network or not. I cannot see the link between the two things. And I'm going to tell you, since that today you talk much things about the children, so I'm going to tell you what the benefit of social network can bring to children. In the first place, it's an information society, and by using the social network, the children can get more information which they cannot get in the daily life, and they can expose to a larger world, to a bigger stage. For example, they can connect with their friends outside the country or overseas, and they can get information which cannot get from the TVs or from their real life. For example, I have a very little sister. She's 5 years old, and she makes friends through social network. It is an American friend. And through social network, she knows a lot about American culture and American people. So we can see the social network actually open a bigger world to children and bring our children to an international and global arena. So we can see that the children all over the world now are using social network. So if we simply let American parents stop their children from using the social network, this will make American children left behind all the world. It will shut American children out of the global arena and just make the whole, because children is the future for the country. So I can see that America maybe will really lag behind many other countries like China or some other developing countries. Sorry, not this time. I maybe cannot finish. Sorry. And so what we can see today is that social network can really bring many benefits to the children. And about the problems that they may brought, it's the problems for the whole internet. That would be a problem for the government or parents to think that how can we regulate the internet, or how can we regulate children for them to learn a better way to use the internet or a safer way, but not just simply rejecting the social network. And on the other hand, we believe that the social network benefits can not only benefit children, we should have a have a wider view from the whole world, and we believe the social network can create a new platform for communication, not only for children, but also for many adults, and as my partner have already mentioned about, for those people who may not have a lot of communication with people in real life, who are refined to their world, and they can have a new platform to communicate with the people outside the world, and also it can help the distance communication. That's why we believe here we are not going to reject the social network, but we are going to support it. Thank you.
We thank the Deputy Leader of Opposition. We now recognize the Government Whip to conclude government's case with a speech not to exceed 7 minutes.
All right, so today I want to just really clarify this round and kind of explain to you what is going on in this round. I'm going to break it down to three main questions for you. First off, I want to ask you, are social networks good for social needs? Second question I want to ask, are social networks good for physical well-being of children? And the final question I'm going to pose to you today, are social networks good for the psychological well-being of children? These are three key issues that have been brought up by both government side and opposition, and I really want to clarify and show how the answers to each of these questions really show that the need to reject Facebook. First question we're going to start off with is, are social networks good for social needs? Yes, it's true. You can communicate with people across the world on Facebook. But we're also seeing that actually, in fact, generations today, people are spending more time on social networks than actually in real social life. 57% of people spend more time on social networks than they do with face-to-face conversations. And we're seeing that as a problem over here on government side. We're also seeing it as a problem as bullying. So one-third of young people today have been threatened with physical violence online. Over 25% are repeatedly bullied online over these social networks. And most shockingly, only 1% of these students tell their parents. These are statistics that was brought up by Max right here. And we see that these statistics outweigh the benefit that opposition thinks there is to Facebook in saying that these are creating benefits to our society. No, we've seen through these statistics right here that we are creating a society that is being bullied online and nothing is happening about that. And so we see that this is not a benefit for social needs of children. So we see the need to reject Facebook in that sense. Second question I want to pose to you today. Are social networks good for the physical well-being of children? Well, I don't know how many have seen the movie WALL-E, but in the movie, we have people floating around in these chairs with their computer screens, kind of look like iPads, but sitting there on their screens and just floating around in their chairs all day. Well, little can we know, they could be sitting there on Facebook all day, and looking at business ads and other things going on. But is this really creating a benefit to our society at all? Is this helping the physical well-being of people, of children that are going to be growing up to lead generations to come? It may not be the extreme of WALL-E where people are overweight, sitting in chairs, floating around in like this spaceship above the Earth, but we do see that there are negative things coming from Facebook physically to children. As Kirsty over here has brought up, there are alternatives that children can be doing than being on Facebook. We see that people can, children can ride their bikes down, walk down to the library, pick out a good book, and, expand their imagination in that sense. We see that children can be creative, come up with make-believe games with their neighbors, and play outside, and that's going to be more effective for their imagination and their creativity than sitting on Facebook is going to do. They're creating those stronger social network in the real world than they are on Facebook. And so, obviously, with that question, that are social networks good for the physical well-being of children? No. And I feel like opposition has not really addressed that, the physical well-being of children. Third question I want to bring to you today, are social networks good for the psychological well-being of children? Both Kirsty and Max both addressed this on this side over here. And well, over here on opposition, they've said that we're blaming Facebook or all social networks as a problem as the only source of this problem, but we're seeing that Facebook is actually one of the number one sites on the internet. And yes, there are other social networks and online, but these social networks are creating a cycle, are not beneficial to the psychological needs of children today. Max talked about the online disinhibition effect and how children and how their prefrontal cortex isn't completely developed. It's actually not developed till you're 20 or 25. And so children don't necessarily have the ability to completely grasp the concept of what they're doing online in the sense that of sharing information. Is this information okay to share? Should I be sharing, you know, my phone number, my address, you know, my secret to this person that I don't know very well on Facebook? They don't have the ability to necessarily grasp the concept that they shouldn't be sharing that information. Same with the toxic part of the disinhibition effect that Max brought up, and that it creates this rude, malicious languages. And I addressed this a little bit earlier in my first question about bullying. And the fact that psychologically, children don't necessarily know how to control what words they're saying online. Children grow up are in school systems, and if they hear a bad word and they repeat it, there's the ability for parents and teachers to say, oh no, that's a word you shouldn't be saying. And so there's that connection that people can make socially, face-to-face, to make those corrections. Whereas on Facebook and other social networking sites, there is no limit to what children can say. There's no limit to say, you know, you really shouldn't be saying that you're going to beat up this kid. It's not going to, there's no control. I mean, there's no way to draw the line there and teach generations to come that this is going to create a bad, it's bad for our community. So with the three questions I posed today, we see that government and society has posed a better point that rejecting social networks is going to be the most ideal for future generations to come and children today because of the physical well-being of children, the psychological needs of children, and their social needs, that overall that we see that there are, that killed children can fill these needs better offline, off social networks and out in the real world. They can fill those needs better in the real world than on social networks. So we today, as government side, beg you to go home and question your social network and even guard that of your children and maybe even reject it and not allow your children to have a social networking site at all. So with this, we beg you to agree with government side that we need to reject Facebook for the better of our children today and future generations to come.
We thank the government whip. We now recognize the opposition whip to conclude today's debate with a speech not to exceed 7 minutes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today, the government side told us they want to reject the social network simply because they're doing harm to children. And there are cases like this. Since there is a lot of physical violence going on between the children, and since there is a lot of harm the internet doing to the children, so they're going to shut down or the social networks for the children. But my question is this. What is the percentage you're going to blame for the internet, and how many percentage you're going to blame for the social network? They make a misunderstanding between the internet and being the social network because they think that what they said actually happens at the dawn of internet. This is all the internet fault, but the social network's fault. So if you are going to reject social network based on what you're saying, then actually you're saying that you're going to reject all the internet for the children. So this is not the case. And second, they're talking about children. Okay, first, we believe that children is really an ambiguous word. What is the age? For the preschool children, for example, age 5 or 9, actually, I don't think they can type ready, right? So what is the percentage for these children? And you are talking about this physical violence, and you are targeting. The case is all about these children. So basically, they are preschool children. But I don't think the percentage among them is really high because they cannot simply type. And if you are talking about the teenagers, Well, I think the government actually underestimate their ability to tell right from wrong, because the teenagers are like you and me. Sorry, I'm not a teenager, I'm 21. So a teenager basically is like the high school children, and they can actually, they have a really clear idea of what they are doing. So you are simply underestimating their ability. And the next question they are talking about is social networking being addictive? And they make people nosy, and children should spend their time, you know, spend some time with their family to some have quality time, or they can use the time, they otherwise use the internet to read. But ladies and gentlemen, let us think through this. What is the cause and effect of this whole thing? So in the first place, is the children feel that they are lonely, so they are going to use the social network to kill their time, or the otherwise? I think you should better realize this problem. So in the first place, why we have paparazzi is because paparazzi is existing there to fulfill our curiosity, to meet our curiosity. Social networking site is exactly like the same. Since the time is changing now, and parents have other stuff to do, or they have limited time to spend with their children, so they feel lonely. So they will use the social network time sites to kill their time. So the cause effect on the government side, I think, is totally upside down. And based on your assumption, you're going to say that since children can use the time they spend on Facebook or Twitter, they can do other stuff like reading. So are you going to kill all the recreational activities for children? Otherwise, children still, if they feel lonely, if they have nothing to do in their spare time, they still will abuse other kind of recreational activities. Are you going to shut down all of them? It is impossible. And their policy is basically like this. The reason they say that children use the social networking site is a problem for children is they lack care from their parents. So their policy is like this. They want their parents to reject the social networking site. But ladies and gentlemen, think it through, think it deeper. This is a really indirect way, or it's the worst solution to the problem. The solution can be really simple, or a more direct way to deal with this is actually really simple. You can simply ask the parents to spend more time with the children rather than to blame the social network side. This is really something which I don't want to say. Okay?
Yeah, back to your question about the internet and social networks. See, the thing is, yes, these problems have existed since the internet existed, but only so far as one can communicate on the internet. We see that social networks are a main way to actually communicate on the internet. The internet primarily has web pages, which are static text, whereas with a social network, one can talk, which breeds the online disinhibition effect. It's completely different, and we think that social networks uniquely create this opportunity for kids to develop this.
To develop what? To develop their communication, their network with the outside world. So it can be a good thing or a bad thing. The only way you see this is whether you're going to do this in the correct way. So actually, what this side of the house told you that actually social networking side is really promoting the communication between human beings. For example, now I'm in the United States and far away from my own country. If I am a children, if I don't have social network, how am I going to communicate with my family? But now for me, since the social network there is there, I can update my status, and my family and my friends can instantly put their comments on, and we have really those great intimate bond with each other through social networking. So this is what is happening, and I believe with the changing of the times, the world is changing, and the in-person visiting between persons is absolutely going down because people are more busy than before. They have other stuff to do. So this is the changing. This is here to stay. And social networking sites, it's actually a new creation to or a new innovation to accommodate the changing world, make people connected through another means rather than in-person visiting. So this is actually doing good. I'm not saying that in-person communication is bad. It is bad. I'm just saying that times is different, and sometimes we just cannot have a chance to meet person in person. And this is why social networking is here. And for the children,
Actually, if you are going to shut down all the social networks for them, they are lacking an outlet to express their feelings with the outside world. For example, some children, they are really geeky. They just want to stay alone, or they just want to go online and chat with their friends through social networking sites. So if you're going to reject the social networking site for them, it actually increases their chance of having depression, because now they have no outlets to express their feelings. They're isolated box, for example, so it is not good for them to do. So what have this side of the house told you? First, your problem with the social networking site with children actually exists before the emergence of social networking site. It is right on at the dawn of internet. And we also told you that their policy is going to exacerbate the status quo rather than improve this. So that's the reason why I think this house should win. Thank you.
That concludes today's debate. We'd like to invite the debaters to cross the aisle and shake hands, and the judges will deliberate, so I will turn the house over to Gary Glusman.
All right, then, so we've heard a debate. Now I'm going to ask the audience to vote by applause. Not what you personally believe, but which side you think swayed you the most, because they were assigned this topic. So I'm going to come up here, and I'm going to have the audience vote by applause. Then we're going to have 1 minute floor speeches. So you think this side won? Looks to me like the audience has agreed that the Chinese national debate team has won the debate tonight. And in just a minute, we're going to find out what the judges think. But at this time, let's hear some one-minute floor speeches. And so if you want to speak, stand up here, and we need to create a line. And anyone can say what you think about this. And I see some people are hesitant, but hey, just come on up here and tell us what you think about this. And it looks like Josh Michelle, one of my top debaters who took second place against Harvard University last week, he's going to talk.
So I've got 1 minute to talk to you about the adaptability relationships, and something on this side completely underestimated. We see that the human relationship that has an ability to adapt to new situations and to new tools, such as the phone, such as telegraph, such as email. To say that Facebook is destroying our ability to have any sort of inhibitions, this is to say that the phone destroyed our ability to read any sort of facial expressions, and that email destroyed our ability to understand any sort of tonal voice. The fact of the matter is that they've completely over-exaggerated some very minor points. And the only real numbers I heard out here was that 57% of these people all of a sudden now talk to people online more than they talk to people on the face-to-face. Well, it was probably the same 57% of people that originally were sent home alone eating Doritos and watching Puff the Magic Dragon. The fact that they're having any sort of social interaction at all is probably an improvement.
I'd like to say that we should not reject social networking sites for three main reasons. First off, social networking is actually an addition to a friendship. You create a friendship verbally speaking and seeing that person, and then you can add them online, and you can have witty comments back and forth. You can chat with them when they're across the seas, as some of the Chinese students understand, talking with their parents. And it can actually be very beneficial and actually sarcastic remarks back and forth. It can just bring an addition to the relationship. When you think about them. Second, adding friends allows you, or just seeing that special someone that you might be interested in, if you add them, you can see if they have a boyfriend or girlfriend, generally, by the pictures or by seeing the relationship status. So I find this very beneficial if you're looking into that special someone and want to see if they actually could have someone that could beat you up. Thirdly, it allows for global networking, which I find to be very beneficial for the business community. I've met some individuals on this trip with the students and their friends, and they gave me their business cards, and I can add them, and I can find them. And so when I travel to China, I'm going to be able to know people, and I can have some people show me around and can show me the actual culture. So for all these reasons, we shouldn't reject social networking, because it's beneficial to know if that other special person has a boyfriend or girlfriend that could beat you up. You can have just witty, sarcastic remarks on it, and it also allows global networking, which will in turn better cultural relations.
Okay. We've heard many great arguments about why we should reject social networks. I'm here to further that debate by adding some points of why we should reject social networks. Let's look at an issue that has not been brought up, privacy. Privacy is a fundamental grounds to a sustainable society, as shown in the Locke philosophy in his second treaty, which the founders of the United States actually used this philosophy in establishing the Constitution. The issue of privacy, we see that hackers are able to come on Facebook and other social networks such as MySpace and look at and view information that is kept a secret. And so the customers have a false sense of privacy, and this is a detriment to the society as a whole. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to speak as a father with children. I think we're not talking actually about a Facebook problem. We're talking about a people problem. I mean, you know, before there was an internet, there was already bullying. It was done with notes that were passed around, and maybe those weren't hanging out in the cloud so that they'd be a persistent sort of thing. But I think that that was just as damaging before. We need to deal with a problem that is systemic to the human person. If we've got people driving drunk and creating accidents, the solution is not to tear up all the roads and get rid of the cars. The solution is to fix the people who are being stupid so they no longer drive drunk. And that's, I think, a more realistic approach. I think Facebook needs to survive, and we need to teach our children how to use it well.
I'd like to second Professor Kowalski's statements in that Facebook is not the problem that we should stop. It's more the people that need to be controlled and stopped. So Facebook is merely, and these other social media websites, is merely an outlet or an example that shows the sad state of American culture and American society. And so it's the stupidity that is that unfortunately becomes evident through these sites such as Facebook. So Facebook is not the means or the problem. So merely it's just teaching parents how to teach their children how to be stupid.
Now, I know most of this debate is focused on the social aspects of social networking websites. One area that I want to focus on is the political aspect, especially in the international stage. Up until about a week ago, most of us know that in Egypt there's been an authoritarian regime where people live in a country where they do not have many basic human rights. They don't have representation in the government. They don't have a lot of the rights that we enjoy in our country here. But on January 25th, someone posted a tweet on Twitter that was calling for people to come out into the streets, into the square, and begin a protest. Now, the government originally thought that this was just another thing that wasn't going to succeed. It was just kind of an attempt, but before it had failed in the past. But later that day, 15,000 people showed up. And within a week, millions were piling into the street, and now their president is being called to step down, and these people are calling for a government that will actually give them the human rights and the quality of life that we think they deserve. And we can see that in this situation, one of the only ways for them to reach this conclusion, to reach this point of revolution, was through a social networking website. And that's a reason that I think we can't reject social networking websites.
Looks like the judging panel has come back, so I'm going to turn it over to my assistant coach, Morgan Chin, to tell us what you decided and give us a little commentary on what you thought.
We gave the win to the Chinese, the opposition team, in today's debate. Congratulations. We felt that government's attempt at a model was nice. We thought that the harm indicated about bullying, cyberbullying, was a real problem, a real harm in the status quo. And we felt that that was a great point that you brought up. That was echoed again in the whip speech. We felt that the organization was clear and concise through all speeches, especially in the Deputy Prime Minister's speech. We also felt that the Prime Minister kept engaged in the round through points of information. So these are all benefits we thought that government did. The problem that we had was ultimately there was a lack of clear definition of the model with children, and especially the whip speaker gets up and talks about the problems with the lack of definition of terms with child, also about how you didn't clearly set up how the internet and social networking sites are different, and how that these harms exist in the status quo with the internet as a whole, and not just specifically social networking sites. And we felt that that was never really addressed by government's case, and ultimately we felt that was the major issue that stood up on opposition side, and that government's case did not stand in regards to these points. And we also felt for opposition's case, we felt that the refutation and clash was very good, especially with the issues brought up about the internet being the real reason, the real problem with cyberbullying. We also felt the issues of with the whip speech bringing up that it's an indirect solution to the problem about why wouldn't we just parent kids better rather than using the social networking sites as a scapegoat. Also with exactly what the advocacy of government's case was that it was unclear. We also felt that it was great that the deputy leader of opposition directly clashed with the deputy prime minister, and how social networking sites directly benefit children rather than harm. So we felt that all of these things combined made a stronger case, and that's ultimately why we gave the victory to opposition's case.
Well, thanks to the judging panel that gave up your time to be here tonight. Thanks to the debaters. The Chinese have had a strenuous 2 weeks debating all over the Northwest, and tomorrow and Sunday they get a break. So we're going to see the Boeing Flight Museum and go to the Experience Music Project and have some fun relaxing as we celebrate Chinese New Year. So that concludes our debate tonight. Tune in next time when we're going to be offering another debate in the future. Thanks, everyone.
Wow, what an event. Very nice, actually.